Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson. In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." This is the text. So why did Jesus, God, have to be born? Why couldn't he simply come on this earth like a king, the king that he truly is? Well, you know how often it is that God does things in ways that don't seem at first to make any sense to human logic and reason. Sometimes it is these wild contrasts in the Bible. Sometimes opposites join together, sometimes in the unexpected. So in our faith we talk about, as Lutherans, we talk about law and gospel, the two parts of the message of God. About ourselves, we call ourselves sinner saints. Confirmation class is in the process of learning and reviewing over and over and over again this thing called the Great Exchange. The Great Exchange is that our sins, our death, and our condemnation is given to Jesus, who does not deserve it. And in response, His holiness, His life, and His heaven are given to us who do not deserve it. And that great exchange is the heart and the core of the Christian message. So in the text, we have some opposites going along. John comes along. He's the great prophet. How do you know that? Well, he's clothed with this raggedy cloak, camel's hair. How else do you know it? Well, his diet, locusts and honey. That's the great prophet. Is he preaching in the cities and calling the masses to him? No, he's out in the wilderness. Well, if he's out in the wilderness, how's that going to work? Well, all the countryside of Judea and Jerusalem, they were going out to him. Why were they going out to him? Well, here a little bit more to the point, because no matter how we try to cover it up, we realize that we fall short. Our lives are missing what God demanded. And a prophet comes along, and the prophet speaks the truth. And we know that that truth is not something that we are going to find in the normal course of our lives, that we need something to break us out of the routine and call us to God and to that relationship with God and the restoring of that relationship with God. And we know that deep down in ourselves, and the whole world knows that deep down inside. And so you find this happening. And it happens in our day too. Somebody comes along with the Word of God, and you see the dual reaction, the world mocking, and then finding it captivating and being drawn to that message. So the world comes in spite of itself to hear that message. Okay, the message. The message of John had two parts. Part one, repent. Part two, your repentance will not do it. Pausing there. Your repentance will not do it because you searching for God, you repenting, you trying to turn away from your sin, you trying to reform your life, that is not enough. It is not enough in the sight of God. Something else has to come along. Human righteousness, no matter how diligently it is done, is not enough. Salvation doesn't come from us. It has to come from God Himself. You heard how John said it, didn't you? I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, that one who is coming from God. He will do that thing, that without Him doing that thing, you cannot have faith, you cannot have spiritual life, you cannot have that relationship with God. He's got to come and do it. So the stage is set. And Jesus, the Son of God, comes to be baptized. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But, wait a minute. Something's wrong with this picture. See, John catches it. Something's wrong with this picture. John objects to it. Something's wrong with this picture. If you slide over to the Gospel of Matthew, you find John saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? Something's wrong with the picture. It's supposed to be that God is there in His holiness. Like the saying goes, God is in His heaven and all is right with the world. Except that it isn't all right with the world and it isn't all right with us. But God is in His heaven. It's where He belongs. And here's Jesus heading to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And it's all out of place. He's got no sin to wash away. He's got no repentance to do. This is backwards at its very best. So John challenges it. And Jesus says, permit it for now, for it is fitting in this way to fulfill all righteousness. And what does that mean? What righteousness does Jesus have to fill up? What holiness is He lacking? Oh, wait a minute. It's not His righteousness that He's filling. It's not His holiness that is lacking. It is ours. So when you see Jesus, the Son of God, heading to the Jordan River, Jesus, the Son of God, there in the water, it's not for Himself. It's for us. Jesus brings His holiness into baptism, and then we are washed. It's the crowd of sinners around Him that need Him in the water. Do you realize how big a crowd of sinners that is? It's the whole world full of sinners. It's the whole world from the beginning to the end of the world full of sinners. And Jesus goes and is baptized and turns everything around backwards. Well, it's in the pattern, isn't it? God is in His heaven and all is right with the world, except He's going to undo that. He will not stay in His heaven. He will not stay where human logic and reason would put Him. He showed that by where He was born. And we've just been through celebrating that, and it's easier to get a handle of how that goes during Christmas because we're used to the story. But God in a manger? God held in His mother's arms? God needing to be warmed and fed? God being a helpless little baby? It's all out of place. Gloriously out of place. Because there He comes for us. See, this is why we needed for Jesus not to just come into the world as King. If He came into the world simply as King, well then He could rule. He could declare what is right and wrong. He could judge. He could condemn. He could sort out the sinners from the righteous. Except that if He did it in that way, How many on the one side? How many on the other? Not a single one of us on the correct side. All of us on the wrong side. We needed him to come to be born for us. We needed for God to break through. Or in a more accurate rendering of the text here, and when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens torn apart. Mark tosses in the same word that is later used of the curtain in the temple. Torn apart. God has torn apart the heavens and stepped down to walk with us, to be one of us. To be where we would not say he belongs. But there he is. And he's become one of us. Let your mind go back. Way back in the Bible. Back to Genesis. That's where our first reading was from, Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. Where God says, "Dust you are, and to dust shall you return." Yeah, that's the pattern. That's how everything fits in the right place. And the words from Mark. "This is my son whom I love." That fits in the right place. But Jesus will not permit that all to stay in the place where it belongs. He takes our place. He comes to this world. Is born for us. And it keeps on getting more and more out of place. Because not only is he born in the stable, laid in the manger, then he begins to do things. Like being baptized and being out in the wilderness, being tempted or being hungry, or being tired, or being thirsty. He comes to Holy Week, and then he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and there you have God falling to the ground in great agony, sweat becoming like great drops of blood, and God arrested and beaten and mocked by his creatures, and crucified. God shedding his blood, God being laid in the tomb. He's not where he belongs. He's where we need him to be. And there in the tomb, he takes the "dust you are, unto dust shall you return." And he goes there, and he undoes that too. Because in rising from the dead, then he begins to unravel that curse of "dust you are, and to dust shall you return," so that over the time, over the years, over the centuries, we are moving toward that point where Jesus will stand on this earth and call these bodies that will, by that point, more likely than not, have returned to dust, and shall undo that returning to dust. And then we'll stand before him and we will see him face to face, reach out and touch him and know that because he lives, we live also. And as long as he is the Savior and as long as he is the Son of Man, so we will live through all of those years. Let me share with you another odd picture. It comes from years and years ago. This was before I was married. Still living at home with my family. And I have a brother, a younger brother, who is clever with the hands. He does art, he does crafting. Now he's doing metal sculpturing. So one day, I wander into his room and I find him making he's making a set of chess pieces. And he's decided that each one of the pawns has to have its own personality. So he's molding and making the faces and lowering the eyebrows to make this one pawn sad and angry. And all those kind of things where a really fine craftsman can do it just with emotion. So I'm watching him and listening to him talk to his chess pieces as he makes them. And then he does something that I thought very odd. He's working with one of them, and he takes it and pops it in his mouth. Works it a little bit. And he takes it back out. At which point, I am standing there saying, "What? What are you doing?" Now, he could have said, "Well, moistening the clay so I can work it some more." He could have said that. What he actually said was, "Well, don't you know you have to put a little bit of yourself into your work?" It was a great line. But down through the years, it echoes into things I have learned from the Bible. You've got to put a bit of yourself into your work. Think about that. The Son of God, does he come to this world as king? No, he comes and is born for us and claims his kingship a very different way. He puts something of himself into his work. When he is born and laid in the manger, how much of himself did he put into his work? Why, all of him. Okay. If you're going to do baptism, well, you got to put something of yourself into your work. And so Jesus heads down to the Jordan River. If you're going to invite people to come to God in prayer, well, you got to put something of yourself into that work. And so in the weeks to come, we will see Jesus going out early in the morning to spend long hours in prayer. Puts himself into it. If you're going to put yourself into your work, well, you put yourself completely into your work, don't you? All the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and the shedding of blood and the laying in the tomb and the rising on the third day, puts himself into his work. Well, he puts himself into his work so thoroughly that when you're baptized, he puts his name on you and splashes his water over you and speaks his words into your ears. He puts himself into his work as he takes this Word of God, which also, by the way, is a name for Jesus, the Word of God. As he takes the Word of God and puts it in your heart and in your soul, and you are changed and transformed, and with the Word of God within your soul, with Jesus in your soul, he has put himself into his work, and you are his work. It's baptism, Word of God. You know there's one more coming, don't you? And he puts himself into his work when he sits at table with his disciples and he takes the bread and he says, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he takes the wine and says, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament shed for you." And he puts himself into his work. And you are the work of God. You are his great and glorious work, and he is doing that work of forming and transforming and making you new and making you into the people of God and brothers and sisters of Jesus and children of the Heavenly Father to live with him and to share his blessings for all eternity. And so Jesus had to be born for us in order to do that kind of work. The work of actual salvation from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.